Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
As a companion piece to Cold-Blooded, these are just some additional episodes to give you a greater insight into the crimes and lives of Private Carl Holton, alias Ricky Allen, and Elizabeth Baker, alias Georgina Grayson. The regular episodes of Murder Mile return at the end of January, with possibly a little surprise in between. Until then, thank you, Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year. Okie dokie, folks. So, let's dive into the first of Elizabeth's statements. So this is the first one. This is the one dated the 11th of October, 1944. She made this statement at Hammersmith Police Station, which is in F Division. And this is the first statement. Now, it's only one page long. It's a pretty quick one. This is the one before Harry Kimball turned around to her and said, you need to go back to the police station. You need to tell them the entire truth. So this is her first statement. So it says, this is the statement of Elizabeth Marina Jones. Her name isn't Marina, it's Maud. But there we go. Aged 18 of 311 King Street, Hammersmith. Who saith? I love that in old police statements. You have to say, who saith? Whoever uses the word who saith. She says, I'm married, but I do not live with my... I am married, but I do not live with my husband. Don't forget the start of the statements. They have to get you to kind of state who you are and what you're about and things like that. I'm married, but I do not live with my husband. I occupy a one-roomed flat at 113 King Street, Hammersmith, and I have been there for about 4 weeks. I am a striptease dancer, and the last engagements I had was in the Panama Club, Knightsbridge, and the Blue Lagoon Club in Carnaby Street, W1. That was 5 months ago, and I have not had any more engagements since. Last Tuesday evening, 3rd of October 1944, I was in a cafe on Broadway, Hammersmith. I do not know the name of it, and I was introduced to a man in an American officer's uniform who told me his name was Ricky Allen, although I have heard him called by another name, Carl. I left him, and I arranged to meet him at 11:30 p.m. at Broadway Cinema. I met him, and he had with him a big American army truck, and I went with him for a ride around London. I left him around 3 a.m. and I went home. I gave him my name and address, and although I arranged to meet him at 3 p.m. on Wednesday the 4th of October, he did not turn up. On Thursday the 5th of October, he called at my flat at about 5 p.m. and I spent the evening with him, and he came home with me afterwards and stayed the night. We remained in bed until 2:50 p.m. on Friday the 6th of October. I got up and he asked me to go to Hammersmith Metropolitan Railway Station to collect his valise. A valise is kind of one of those canvas bags that you always see troops in wartime kind of swinging over their shoulder to carry stuff in. And he handed me a cloakroom ticket. I collected the valise, and that is the one the American officers took away on Wednesday the 11th of October. When I arrived back at the flat on Friday, Ricky put on a pair of dark trousers, which he took out of the valise. We left the flat together at about 4:30 p.m. and at 5 p.m. and we went to Broadway Cinema, Hammersmith. We came out at 8:30 p.m. and he left me and said he would call back for me at 9:30 p.m. at the flat. He did not come until 11:30 p.m. I heard whistling in the street and went down and saw him there. He slept with me that night. We got up from bed at 10:50 a.m. on Saturday the 7th of October, and he left the flat to get a meal. He returned to the flat at 1:40 p.m. And a man named Lenny, that's Len Bexley, was with Ricky. I had seen Lenny before, and I know he goes to the cafe in Hammersmith Broadway. The three of us went to the White City Stadium in the afternoon. In the evening, I went with Ricky to Victoria and entered a cinema. He brought me home, and I think he left me at about 10 p.m. saying he was going to stay at a hotel in Victoria. I have seen Ricky twice since. That is on Sunday afternoon, and he stayed with me on the Sunday night. He left on Monday morning, and he came back at about 3 p.m. and said he would call for me at 5:30 p.m. but he did not come. I did not see him with a car when he called. I have not seen him since. Ricky brought the tunic that was found behind the door of my flat, and on occasions I have seen him wear a leather jacket with zip fastenings. This statement has been read to me, and it is true. Signed, E.M. Jones. So that's the statement. It's barely a page long. But if you've already listened to the episode, you'll know that most of that was complete and utter bullshit. So, interesting. So I won't do this with the other statements. I'll kind of read that and just interject when we need to. But you can kind of already see that there's bullshit here already. So it's true that she doesn't live with her husband anymore. She does live in the flat. She has to admit that, because they actually went to that flat and arrested her there, or brought her in for questioning at 331 King Street. So they know that. She'd been there for about 3 weeks. She keeps saying that she's a striptease dancer. There's no proof that she was a striptease dancer. And all the clubs that she referenced that she was at, the Panama Club in Knightsbridge and the Blue Lagoon Club on Carnaby Street, these are all relatively famous places. Do you know, the only other place she may have mentioned is kind of like the Windmill Club. But as with most dancers, there's no evidence. You can't, it's not like they were on the payroll. It was kind of cash in hand. So it's almost impossible to prove. She could have been a dancer, but we don't have anything in her past that proved that she was a dancer. So Tuesday evening, 3rd of October, she says she was in the cafe in Broadway, Hammersmith. She says, I don't know the name of it. That's kind of interesting, because she worked there. So how would you not know the name of the cafe that you worked in? He said that his name was Ricky. This is all, most of this we already know anyway, because obviously Len Bexley kind of told us a version of this as well, and also Ricky would as well. She said that evening they went, I went with him in a big army truck and went with him for a ride around London. Now, what she entirely misses out of there is the fact that they went over to Reading. And that's where they found the girl on the bicycle, that they switched off the lights, and they kind of, Ricky accosted her in the road and they stole her purse and then came back with all the stolen goods and sold it off. She's entirely missed that. So that has just gone. Basically, she's saying, we just went for a bit of a ride around. It was all very nice. She says he didn't turn up on the Wednesday. They did go out on the Wednesday. Thursday the 5th. Again, she's just kind of saying he turned up, but we really didn't do anything. Friday the 6th. So in the lead into that, that is the point where the young girl who was on outside Paddington Station that they picked up, she's entirely missed that. She's entirely missed the fact that they went up to Kilburn and there was a taxi driver, John Strangeway. She's entirely missed that. She's missed the attempted robbery, which had already been reported to the police by that point. But because they didn't know Ricky's name, they didn't know her name. I don't think they had the license plate of the American truck. They just knew it was a 6-wheeled, 2.5-ton American truck. They knew one was missing, but they couldn't find it because it was hidden in the car park at the back of the Gaumont Cinema. So she states in here about the Vallis bag that was held at Hammersmith Metropolitan Railway Station. That is all true, But she has to admit that because they already had the Valis bag itself. Don't forget the trousers that she was meant to take to the cleaners. They'd already found them at her flat. Well, it's not really a flat, it's a room there. And they'd also found the leather jacket with the leather fastenings. That was behind the door as well. And the ticket to the Valis bag, they'd already got that as well. That's all been proven. So all of the things that she's actually saying here has been proven. You can see a kind of a prevarication on here when she's talking about the timings for Friday the 6th of October and Saturday the 7th of October. There's a lot of kind of, oh, we were meeting up and we went to the cinema and went to Victoria and things like that, which parts of which is true, but entirely missing the point of the fact that they went out that night and they went hunting and they found George Heath, and it's the murder of George Heath. All of that is entirely missing. It's mostly waffle. So you'll kind of see a real difference. After this, I'll put in part two. I will warn you now, it's a big old letter. It's about 8 pages long. So I would strap yourselves in. I might put it into a part one, part two version so you can have a bit of a rest. So I can have a rest as well, because it's a lot to dive into. Anyway, that was the first letter. Up next, second letter, part one.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.